Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Praise the Lord. My assignment for this evening is St. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. Now don't spend the night with them, just speak to them and go sit down. See, there's some Mississippi people in here tonight because y'all like to visit. But this is not one of those nights. Just greet somebody and go sit down. So good to be with Pastor Ronnie Reed and this amazing church, the Crystal River Church. And we've recently gone through a remodeling, done some remodeling or some touching up. And if you just look around and see this beautiful stage and the beautiful handiwork of the leaders of this church. And I want you to just understand and know that we're here to serve you. You're not here to serve us. We're here to serve you. And just a few moments ago, Brother Ronnie was saying those wonderful things about me. And I love to hear people say wonderful things about me. Look at your husband and say, that's your hint right there. Say some wonderful things about me. But one of the things that I've learned in life, no matter how many wonderful things that people say about you, the applause that matters is the one that God gives you. Not the applause that people give you. How many of you understand that? It's all about Jesus. And I learned and found out a long time ago that people bless me and bless my son and Melissa, and they do wonderful things for me. It is because of the ministry. They've never given anything to me because it was about me. They did it because it was the ministry that God trusted me with. And when God can trust you, he can use you. And if God uses you, then it will always be to the beneficiary of somebody else. How many of you know that when God uses you, it is always to bless somebody else, to encourage somebody else, to change somebody else's life? And we thank you, Pastor Ronnie and Sherry, for coming to Crystal River, Florida. Just a few days ago, he was in Mobile and she was in Panama City, and they got together and came down here to do what God called them to do. And I believe that they have done an excellent job. Would you help me celebrate Pastor Ronnie and Sherry Reed? Aren't they wonderful? And she is an amazingly talented, gifted, beautiful woman who loves our pastor and takes care of him. And everything about his ministry, she has beautified it. She's given him beautiful, talented, gifted kids. And not only that, but she just makes him look good. I want all the women in the house to celebrate our First Lady. Every woman, come on, women, let's celebrate the First Lady. And thank God for you. Amen. Praise God. I don't know. I'm not a woman, but it takes a lot for a woman to be married to us. I wish I had a woman to just say, phew, just brush your brow off. How many of you have a husband? It's taken you a long time to get him where you got it. Amen. And if not, keep on working it, honey. Work it, work it. God will help you. God will bless you. Let's get right into the word of the Lord in Luke chapter 5. So good to see Dr. Johnson and all of the staff. And I want the staff to know, us all of you to know, that Pastor Reed brags on you. He talks about you. He talks about you to me, and he talks about you, Justin, and how proud he is of you and how thankful he is that you're one of his sons in the Lord. And he talks about you, Brother Cash. You're one of his sons also. He talks, says wonderful things about you and wonderful things about our executive pastor and our pianist and all of you that work in any capacity of the church. Your pastor talks about you in a way that I would want to talk about my children. Well, then he talks about some others, you, but I ain't gonna say what he says. I'm just kidding. But it's always good to know that somebody's praying for you and somebody's rooting for you. I want you to just look at your neighbor and say, I'm rooting for you. I'm cheering for you. I'm expecting great things of you. I'm believing for the best of you. And I believe in that kind of partnership and that kind of brotherhood when we truly love one another, pray for one another, cheer for one another, root for one another, celebrate one another. I wish I had no haters in here. Somebody lift your hands and say, I'm not a hater. I love people and I celebrate what God does in people's lives. There is a word in Luke chapter number 5. When you got it, say amen. About last night, if you weren't here on last night, Lord have mercy, it was redonkulously blessed in here last night. I saw people dance I ain't never seen dance before, and that's because I ain't never seen them before. But we were on the good foot last night, past the moonwalk. It was incredible. Althea did the whip and the nay-nay. It was on up in here. Sister Valerie did the twist, and when she got the twisting, 2-3 men just threw them against the wall. I didn't know what to do up in here last night, and I just enjoyed watching you enjoy the Lord. Smile at somebody and show them all 32, all 12, or how many you got left. Just smile at somebody and say, I want God to get a hold of you tonight, and I want God to get a hold of me. Especially tonight. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1. Let's consider verse number, I like verse number 1. Let's go verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Underline that word, just a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said, Master, we have toiled all night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Look at somebody and say, my. That's the kind of blessing I want. I want the kind of blessing where I need some help bringing it home. I want to catch the kind of fish that somebody in another boat got to come over and get in my boat and help me pull it in. And I believe if Pastor Ronnie takes me out tomorrow, that's exactly what's going to happen. My brothers and sisters, for specificity of the text, let's notice verse number 2 and the B clause. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And notice verse number 4. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. If you're here tonight, I feel especially led of the Lord to talk to people about this kind of Jesus that specializes in second chances. And if you're here tonight and you ever got a second chance, it's hard to look down on somebody that got delivered and you got delivered from stuff worse than they did. It's hard to look down on folks when you really ain't got no business being here, and you should have been dead, you should have been in the crazy house, you ought to be in prison, but God looked beyond your faults and blessed you in spite of you. It's very difficult to be arrogant when God did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. My grandfather was my pastor, And my grandfather used to say, and we had a man in our church that had minor surgery. And we recently had a woman in the state of Florida who just had some dental work and got an infection and died. A former pastor in our region, and his wife died after having some dental surgery. And we had a man in our church that went in for what they called minor surgery, and he died. And they were talking, and they said, and my grandfather was present, and they said, he just had minor surgery and died. And my grandfather said, there's no such thing as a minor surgery. The doctor can put you to sleep, but God has to wake you up. And how many of you know without a shadow of a doubt that if God doesn't show up in your life and do what he does best, and that's redemption and grace and turning things around, then you would take a rope like Robin Williams and hang yourself until you're dead. But God knows how to find you at your worst moment. He knows how to find you at a moment in your life when everybody else kicked you to the curb, everybody else would have threw you away, everybody else would have wrote you off. But when you see me shouting, it's not because of my clothes or my car or my house or my bank account. I'm just glad that I got in here and he made a way for me and did something that I couldn't do. Let me see 25 grateful people. Give God a big old hand clap of praise for a second chance. I want to deal with this tonight, and I want to talk to frustrated folks. I want to talk to people that have habits and issues, and what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. called the vicissitudes of life, the changing tides of life, the nuances of life, how things can be one way in the morning and another way in the evening, or one way in the evening and another way the next morning. How many of y'all know that things can change real fast in your life? Things can happen so fast in your life that it will literally catch you off guard. If you're not careful, life can come at you so fast that it'll be oops upside your head. Is there anybody in this room that can say you don't know what a day gonna bring? That's why every day of your life, you ought to fall on your knees and say, Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. Do I have a witness in this house that's just glad to be alive? In our text this evening, I want to talk about a man who had a horrible night. Peter, in this text, had a bad night. And how many of you have had one or two bad nights in your life? Come on, wave at me if you've had some bad nights. Well, if you've had some bad nights, you're in good company. Because most of the people in the Bible had some pretty awful bad nights. Many individuals that you consider great folks, many individuals that you consider spiritual folks, before they were real spiritual, they were tore up from the floor up. Before they were real spiritual, they had problems and habits and issues and things that they wouldn't normally discuss in settings like this with a bunch of religious people. But God tells us the good, the bad, and the ugly of everybody in the Bible to show us that you have no reason to beat your brains out, because God used people that were just as jacked up as you. How many of you know that David had a few bad nights? You remember that night that he laid in the bed with the other man's wife, and then the next thing you know, God judged him and all hell broke loose in his life when he was with another man's wife. Noah got drunk on the eve of reconstruction. I would call that a pretty bad night. Peter denied the Lord, and when he denied the Lord, the rooster started preaching a sermon to him, because Jesus told him, you're going to deny the Lord three times. I would call that a pretty bad night. Oh, Brother Jonah didn't spend 3 nights in the, what's that preacher name? Norval Hayes' hotel. You remember Norval Hayes used to have a hotel down the street there. When he ran it, I wouldn't have put my dog in it. But anyway, I just want you to understand that Jonah spent 3 nights in the belly of a great fish. He didn't spend 1 night, 2 nights, but 3 nights in this fish disobeying God. A fish swallowed him up. He spent 3 nights dealing with the acid of a fish belly, dealing with the stench of dead fish, dealing with all of the scents and the odor of that belly. And when God brought him out of that great fish, he started running like he was from Jamaica, like he was from the hood, like he was from Kenya. I wish I had somebody. When God delivers you from something, ain't nobody got to tell you, clap your hands, stomp your feet. When God turns something around, nobody has to tell you to run around the church. I need somebody. God did something for you, and you got to give him the praise. Why don't we just clap our hands and praise him one more time? Hallelujah. Most folks that God used greatly, they had some bad nights. Shake your head like a white person that just got out of a pool and say, oh yes, I've had some bad nights, some lonely nights, some sleepless nights, some fever-filled nights with children, parents. All of us that live godly will suffer persecutions. If you are a child of God, the devil is the hitman, and you're on the hit list. Lazarus had 4 bad nights. That's how many nights he was dead. But it turned out well for Jonah. It turned out well for Peter. It turned out well for Lazarus. And God sent me from Atlanta, Georgia, to tell you, I don't care where you are, it's going to turn out all right for you. I need somebody to give your neighbor a high five and say, things are going to turn around for you. Is there anybody that needs some good news in this house? Things are going to turn around for you. Just keep living. I want to talk to you from this theme. A bad night, but a great morning. If you are a child of God, you've had some bad nights. But every morning that you are not in the morgue is a great morning. Every morning you wake up and you are not handicapped, that's a great morning. Every morning that you wake up and you can see your children getting on your nerves, spilling cereal on your carpet, throwing toast against the wall, pee-peeing in their diaper. Every morning that you wake up and your kids are smiling and laughing, you ought to thank God because somebody didn't wake up like that. What you called normal, somebody would call a miracle. I want you to lift up your hands if you have been receiving miracles all of your life. I just said what you would call a mirror, what you would call normal, somebody else would think it was a miracle because they live constantly under the umbrella of why are things always so bad in my life. And usually these people don't understand how good they got it and how bad it really could be, because it can get a lot worse, but it is going to get a lot better. The devil is a liar, and everything he's done to you and your family, God is going to give you total victory over every attack of the devil in your life. You're on the winning side. You're on God's side. And if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Why don't you just stand up and help me shout in this house? A bad night, but a good morning. Sit down, y'all. Y'all making me nervous. I'm going to be like the great Elizabeth Taylor, and I'm not going to be with you long. But anyway, let's deal with this. Peter had this terrible night. He had fished all night long, and scripture tells us he caught nothing. And there's absolutely nothing worse than fishing and not catching anything. To be fishing and not catching. To be living and not laughing. To spend a whole life alive, but you didn't laugh, you didn't love, you didn't forgive, and you didn't give. You just breathe. And there are people in this room, you are just existing. You are just living a life based on one failure after the other failure after the other failure, and you have fat Tuesday Mardi Gras pity parties because you talk about constantly what happened 20 years ago like it happened last week. Have you ever talked to folks and they talked about something and it was so painful and you say, well, when did this happen? 49 years ago. You would think it was yesterday how they rehashed their hurts, how they rehashed their pain, and how they talk about their problem. But I want you to understand something. The power or the difference maker between a bad night and a good morning is two things: your attitude and your ability to make adjustments. And what I found out about people is when you have a bad attitude, it's like a flat tire. Your car ain't going nowhere until you change it. There is nothing worse than somebody who ought to be celebrating the blessings of God, but they complain and whine and moan about everything all the time. Negative, analytical, critical, pessimistic. Look at somebody and say, you want some cheese with your wine? You must be a Florida Gator fan and not a Florida State Seminole fan, because the way you whine and moan about how bad it is, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. God blessed you with health. God blessed you with two hands. God blessed you with two feet. Somebody ought to rub your big old stomach and say, thank God I got an appetite. You might be fat like Buddha, but thank God you're still alive. Anybody in this house got something to shout about? Anybody got a reason to keep moving forward in your life? Can I preach like I'm in Georgia tonight? I found out something, that the difference between a bad night and a good morning is a good attitude and the ability to make adjustments. Somebody say adjustments. People that make adjustments and people that make the best adjustments, we call them happy. We call them joyful. We call those individuals that will eventually be successful. But the people that do not make adjustments, we call them sad, confused, and frustrated. People that do the same thing gets the same result. And that is the definition of the word insanity. If you keep doing the same dumb stuff and you're looking for a positive result, then something is wrong with you. You are insane in the membrane and you need a check up from the neck up, because your lights are on but nobody's home. And how many of you honestly want God to deliver you from every cuckoo, from every crazy, from every mixed up, messed up person? And you want God to send people in your life that are positive, that are uplifting, that are optimistic, that if God is with you, things are going to get better. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God sent me from Atlanta to tell you, don't give up on God, and he won't give up on you. Things got to get better. You got to hang on in there. Adjustments. Somebody say adjustment. Look at somebody and say, you need some adjustments. Everybody in life needs to make adjustments. By changing nothing, nothing changes. Can I say that again? By changing nothing, nothing changes. Let me say it again. Life is not better by chance, but it is better by making changes. Sisters and brothers, there's a huge power in knowing how to make adjustments. In fact, it is possible to turn failure into success by making the right adjustments. And also learning how to talk yourself out of giving up. Learning to talk yourself out of throwing in the towel. Learning to talk yourself out of doing the same thing, walking around the same mountain, and never being willing to bust the move and break out on the devil and say, I'm going to do something meaningful in my life, so help me God. I was in Kansas City, Missouri. And this young man was there, and I'd never met him. And he and his wife were sitting there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, tell this man to quit his job and start his own business. You got to be a bad Negro to tell a grown man to quit his job. But I told him, God said, quit your job and start your business. Well, he started crying. His wife started crying because I thought they were crying because they wanted to whip me. But they were crying because they knew it was time. Lay hands on yourself and say, it's time to make an adjustment. I can't go back to the same old. I can't go back to the same friends, because your friends are your future. If you are around crazy people, then you're going to be crazy. If you're around people full of drama, your life will be full of drama. If you're around people that are negative, then you too will be negative. Rejoice with them that rejoice and connect with eagles. Get away from a bunch of buzzards and get some eagles in your life. Brother Ronnie, I told this man, quit your job and start your business. Well, he went and quit his job. He had all the contacts and information to start his business. And when he went to his boss, he said, this is it. The boss looked at him and said, man, I've made millions of dollars off of you. And he said, I've made enough money that I could just give the business to you. He said, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, and I'm getting ready to retire off the money that you made me. If he had only believed in himself, defeated insecurity in his mind, pushed doubt out, and decided that I'm going to be courageous and I'm not going to sit here and work for somebody when people ought to be working for me. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I don't care about Donald or Hillary. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and God is able to make big things happen for you in the middle of a bad economy. That's their economy. Your economy is in heaven, and God has resources that will bless your socks off. If you believe it, help me shout in this house. Am I helping anybody in this house? Consider this, if you will. The man started his business and now is a multi-millionaire in Kansas City, putting in parking lots for Walmart and Target and other businesses. But he made the adjustment and decided, I'm tired of being scared. Ball up your fist and say, I'm tired of being scared. I'm tired of not taking risk. I'm tired of not doing anything great. I'm ready to get out of the box. And one of the definitions of getting out of the box is not merely getting away from tradition and the routine, but getting out of other people's business and getting a life of your own. And so here we are. Peter fished all night and caught nothing. Fished all night long. And what did he catch? A bag full of failure. And many of you in this room, if the truth be told, it is not what I think about you or what Pastor Reed thinks about you. It's what you see when you look in the mirror. And if people told you not how they feel about you, but how they feel about themselves, it would blow your mind. Some of the most beautiful, statuesque women in the world think they're ugly. Some of the greatest, strongest men are deeply insecure. If you knew what people dealt with in their lives and in their minds and in their spirits, it would literally make you wonder what in the world is going on. Individuals like Marilyn Monroe, it is she who thought she was one of the most ridiculously ugliest women, who was unwanted, her mama was crazy, and she ended up dying before she was 40 years old because of deep insecurities. She had bad nights, and those bad nights, if you're not careful, you can get caught up in bad nights so much that you never see a good morning. You never see things changing. You never see things getting better. And the definition of depression, Brother Johnson, is I don't see a good future. That's why people divorce. That's why people give up. That's why people throw in the towel, because they don't see a future. They don't see things getting better. And when we look at Peter on this morning, it's not a glad morning. It's not a happy morning. It's not a festive morning. It is a morning where we see Peter washing the net. And if you look a little deeper, you would just think he's cleaning the nets, getting ready to fish another day. You would think he's cleaning the nets, getting ready to fish for a fish maybe later on that evening. But if we look through the eyes of Revelation, there's a lot of pain washing the net. There's a lot of disgust washing the nets. There's a lot of frustration washing the nets. A definition of frustration is standing at a locked door and being afraid to move and the door not opening. And there are a lot of folks that keep standing at locked doors. They stand at shut doors. They stand in dead homes, dead jobs, dead relationships, and instead of moving, they just keep demanding that something dead make them happy. Do you know folks that sit in a graveyard trying to have a celebration? You can't have a celebration in a graveyard. At some point in your life, you got to look at yourself and say, I'm better than this. God's got something better for me. I'm not gonna sit here and die. I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna move forward. I need all my forward folks to lift up your hands and say, the devil is a liar. God's got something great for me. Look a little deeper, and we see Peter fished all night, caught nothing, and he's washing the net. And he's given up. And there's a lot of folks that feel like this. I tried. It's not that I failed. I tried, and it didn't work. And when folks come at you and say, it didn't work because you didn't try, you almost want to take your shoe off and beat their brains out. Have you ever dragged yourself to church? Just barely got here, and you didn't need no drama, and somebody walked up on you and say, you didn't speak to me 6 months ago, and I'm mad at you. And you want to say, if you don't get your behind out of my face, I'm going to pull your wig off, and I'm going to pour some alcohol in your eye. Have you ever been in a situation where you had a bad night, and you wake up to some drama, and you say, I don't need no more of this? How many of you have ever woke up and said, I don't need nothing else wrong to happen up in here. Y'all better shut up. I'm going to go crazy up here. Like Brother Ronnie was talking about somebody that needed coffee. And some of y'all don't need nobody running up on you until you get some Folgers inside of you. The best part of waking up. Bad night. When you've had a bad night and you tried, The last thing you need for somebody to say is you need to try some more. Try some more. You better get you. Try some more. I tried, and I'm tired. Anybody in this room, there's two kinds of tired. There's a tired, and then there's a soul tired. And when my grandmother was dying, she told my mom, who's a nurse, she said, "Theta, I'm so tired." Shake your head if I'm talking to you. If you've ever been so tired of getting bad news, so tired of the last one hired and the first one fired, so tired of always having to deal with a fight in your family, drama in your family. Y'all can't even go to Red Lobster without somebody spilling their butter in somebody's lap and somebody getting mad and tearing the Red Lobster up. And you say, "We can't do nothing." Am I helping anybody in this house? How many of y'all have very unmerry Christmas and unhappy Thanksgiving? You almost hate to come together because every time you come together, it's the same old jazz. Don't look at your wife, just look straight at me. Don't look at nobody else, look straight at me. And sometimes you feel like, come here, Jess. Come here, Justin. Come here, Justin. Sometimes you just feel just like this. Hold your hands out. Washing your hands of it. Have you ever felt like that? I can't take no more. Come here, let me give you some more. Sometimes. Come on. This how you feel? Now, with a beautiful wife like this, I know you don't ever feel like this because you dating Miss, you married to Miss America, but the rest of us, the dog pooping everywhere, the cat scratching your curtains, your goldfish ain't eating. How many of you say if something else happened? And people, and I keep going back to this because I can't believe it. Every time they tell me, I can't believe it, that Robin Williams killed himself. Mrs. Doubtfire, Patch Adams, Mork and Mindy. Every time I think about Robin Williams, the funny guy, doing something that wasn't funny at all. And if you know how people suffer in silence, you would shut your mouth talking about them because you don't know what people go through every day of their life. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death every day of my life. And Brother Ronnie, this is what I found out. Sometimes strong people get tired of being strong. Sometimes the psychiatrist wants to sit on a couch. Sometimes Oprah wants somebody to give her a car. Anybody? Life. Life. It ain't fair. And how many of you can say it ain't been no crystal stair? I've had potholes and roadblocks. And I want somebody to just bear witness. Don't wave at me. Just wink at me and let me know I'm in the house. If it wasn't for family, you wouldn't have enemies. Don't. Everybody that's a hater got your last name. And how many of you ever wanted to go on Mari Povic to get a DNA test for the crazy people in your family because you know they had to switch you at birth because these crazy people in your family, Boom Boom Barbara, Wooly the Wino, Harry the Horny Toad, they can't be my family because everybody in my family crazy except me. I was preaching at my grandfather's church, and it's so different now than it was when he was alive, Brother Cash. And I got up at my mama's church, and I said, "I feel like E.T. I just wish I had a phone to call home." And how many of you feel like that? I just wish E.T. was with us, and they said, "E.T., you want to stay?" No. I want to get out of here and go home. You would think E.T. wanted to stay, but he got around us and heard us talk about how bad. Phone home. iPhone home. What you say, E.T.? You want a recent? No, phone home. And that's how many of us feel. We feel like Brother Justin, with the water in his hands, you feel all washed up. You feel afraid about the future, and your past sucks, your present looks dark, and the future looks cloudy. And sometimes the best of us feel like if something happened to me, they wouldn't even know I was gone. How many of you ever felt like maybe it'll be better if I wasn't here? And when you feel all of that darkness and all of that pain and all of that anxiety, the good thing about God is the best times for him to show up is when you are having barbecued depression, sautéed discouragement, and a bowl full of anxiety. It is awesome that God showed up when the man of God, Gideon, was behind the wine press talking about how bad it was, and God said, that ain't what I see. I see a mighty man of valor. That ain't what I think about you. I think you got potential. Is there anybody in this house? Thank God he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Somebody shout in this house. Sit down. Give me a little more volume. Pastor Ronnie was singing the other night, and I almost ran to Inverness. Isn't that it? Inverness? You thought I was worth saving. And how many of you know that God thought you were worth saving? Nobody else would have did what he did in your life, and you wonder why I get happy and go buck wild for Jesus, because he did something that nobody else could have did, nobody else would have did. And if I want to praise him, please excuse me and get out of my way and let me praise my God. I need 30 people to help me praise the Lord in this house. Am I helping anybody? Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, I got something to shout about. I shouldn't be alive. Anybody ought to be HIV positive. Anybody ought to be dead from cancer. But God lets you live. And you gonna come in this church and be a silent witness. You ought to jump on your feet and give God a rain dance up in here. Somebody jump up 7 times and holler, I got the victory. Am I helping anybody? See, let me tell y'all something. Some folks ought to praise him. They just ought to. Some folks need to praise him. They just need to. But some folks got to praise him. Anybody in this room, you got to praise him, because he turned something around. He stepped in right on time. He made your enemies behave. He healed your body. He gave you strength when you didn't have it. I wish somebody do a Holy Ghost praise at your chair and watch God do it again. The good news about God is not what he did, Nana, it's when he does it. Shout, it ain't what he did, it's when he did it. Meshach, Shadrach, and a bad Negro was going to a barbecue. They were like, we going to a barbecue. They didn't know they were going to be the meat. And he put them in the fiery furnace. And they looked around and said, I see Meshach, I see Shadrach, and I see Abednego. But who's that guy over there with the hot dog? Look like Jesus. Sound like Jesus. Walking around in the fire. Huh? Daniel was in the lion's den. He could have delivered Daniel from it, but he decided to deliver him in it. And there's some times in your life God didn't deliver you from it. God delivered you in it. And you mean you're not going to shout? Have you lost your mind? Have Have you lost your mind, girl? Hey, hey. Glory to Jesus. Sit down. Let me finish. We had a woman in our church named Sister Gathright. And Sister Gathright was one of them black women that wore dresses all the time, stockings that you couldn't see through, and always had a hat on. Good old Church of God in Christ missionary. We used to call her Sister G. And Sister Gathright had a stroke, was in the floor. And somebody just so happened to go over there and find her in the floor, and she had had a stroke. And they rushed her to the hospital. And my papa and my dad, we went to see Sister G. And she was talking. Mouth was twisted, hand was twisted, couldn't move her left side. And we walked in, and she could talk, but the words wasn't clear. And we came in off the elevator, and Sister G was, he could have a heart, come on, son. And my granddaddy said, that's Sister G. That's Sister G in there. I hear her down the hall. The girl was in there shouting right after she had a stroke. And we walked in the room, and Papa said, Sister G, what you doing? And that silly girl took her hand that worked, and she was doing ill. And Papa said, what you doing? She said, I'm shouting on half. What? She said, I'm shouting on half of the arm. I'm shouting on half a leg. And Sister G said, Bishop, it ain't gonna be long, and I'm gonna be shouting again. Sister G went to rehab. 7 nurses got the Holy Ghost. Sister G went from rehab and went back home. She went from a wheelchair to a walker to a cane. And then one Sunday morning, that girl got up and started shouting and praising God. I don't care what it looks like. When you praise God, you open the windows of heaven in your life. Somebody shout. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Peter fished all night. Caught nothing. And give me your chair. Give me your chair. Give me your chair. Yeah. You can lose a little weight, chunky. Yeah. Yeah, just a little bit. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Kelly, sign him up. Sign him up, Kelly. Sign him up. Anyway. Peter, come here, was over here washing the net. Washing the net. Sherry gonna kill me about the carpet. He's over there. Turn around. Turn around. He was over there washing the net. Come here. Come here. Come here, Gene. Come here, Gene. I know his name ain't Gene, but that's the only name I could think of. Gene, come here, Gene. Wash the net. Wash. Have y'all ever fished before? Wash the net before I beat you. Hey, wash the net. There you go. Keep washing. Keep washing. Keep washing. This. There you go. Keep washing. Keep washing. And this, y'all the most horrible washers. Go sit down somewhere. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. They over there washing the net. They done had a bad night. Ain't nothing went right. How many had situations where you say, ain't nothing going right? If it ain't this, it's that. Ain't nothing going right. And they was over there washing the net. And they over there washing. And Jesus shows up out of nowhere. He'll show up out of nowhere. You'll be on the dance floor. And he'll just show up. A friend of mine said he was on the dance floor bumping with a big girl. And Andre Crouch came, they were playing an Andre Crouch song on the dance floor. in a club in California and he was on the dance floor and the Holy Ghost said, you bet not dance to that song. And he said that was the song his mama used to sing. And he said he was bumping with that girl. He take me back. Said he got off the dance floor. Said he was in the middle of the dance floor with a woman full of cocaine, full of alcohol, and Andre Crouch. Somebody just started playing a spiritual song in the club, and the DJ didn't mess up. He just played the song. I want y'all to know nothing keeps him out. He'll go in the jailhouse. He'll go in a bad marriage. He'll come to a situation that the devil said, there's no way this can turn around. And God will show up and say, do you know who I am? Do you know the power that I possess? Somebody lift up your hands and begin to speak in the Holy Ghost right now. My dad, my mom, keep watching. My mom and I was in college. And all my life, and this is why I can talk to people like this, because I lived it. My sister died when I was 21 in a wreck, and my dad and his dad and my grandma were alcoholics all my life. My dad was in the military and was a functioning alcoholic all my life. And my mama got a word from the Lord, anoint my daddy's liquor bottles. And my mama said, the Holy Ghost said, anoint these bottles. And my mom started pouring the oil in the Jack Daniels. My daddy would come home and get a drink. Every time he came in, he'd get a drink. And he said, something wrong with this thing. And my mama took it further and started anointing his shoes, anointing his clothes, anointing his stern wheel. He almost died three times with an oil. She went crazy with the oil. See, black people anoint everything. And my dad was coming home drunk one night. I was in college. And my dad was coming home drunk. And my mama was home. And she told me, something's changing in your daddy. I didn't think so, because he was still drinking. And I heard Pastor Ronnie say something just a minute ago. He said, prophesy. My mama said, when my dad was still drinking, prophesy. And she said, something's changing. My dad was coming home drunk and ran into a pole around the corner from my house. The pole was right in front of a canal. They put the pole there 3 days before he tore it up. And the police said to my mama, they said, ma'am, your husband is lucky, because if this pole wasn't here, your dad would have went right into the canal. Your husband would have went into the canal and your husband would have drowned because he was passed out. But the pole was at the right place at the right time. And if my dad didn't hit that pole. Somebody lift your hands and say, I've had some bad nights, but I'm getting ready to have a good morning. Come on, speak it over your life. I'm not lying. I'm prophesying. I'm telling you, God is going to do something over the next 4 months that's going to blow your mind. These next 4 months are going to be like glory, hallelujah, and praise to the Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to. Everything the devil meant for evil, God going to turn it all the way around. Somebody shout in this house. The pole, Brother Cash, was right where my dad needed it to be. He would have went right into the canal and drowned. But the pole was right where it needed to be. I want you to lift your hands and say, God got my husband, my son, my daughter, my niece, my nephew. God's got it all under control. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you all the way out of it. Somebody's about to come out of the darkest night of your life. If I'm talking to you, give God the best praise you got. And so he just went and sat down in Peter's boat. And they said, yo, Peter, there's a man in your boat. He just went and got in the boat. Didn't ask nobody for permission. See, when God get ready to bless you, can't nobody stop it. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. When God get ready to turn it around, ain't nobody gonna stop it. Pastor Ronnie told me every other church starts to go into a decline over the summer, but y'all started growing over the summer, because when God get ready to bless you, can't nobody stop it. When God get ready to do what he told you he's gonna do, can't nobody stop it. I feel like God is getting ready to rain down favor in Crystal River, and can't nobody. Lay hands on somebody right now and say, God's going to release 4 months of favor on you. God's getting ready to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you ain't got room enough to receive. Your next blessing is going to be pressed down, shaken together, running over, good measure, exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. Somebody help me shout. Help me shout in this house. He got in. Sir. Sir. He's getting in your boat. He's getting in your boat. You like, who is that man in my boat? I didn't authorize nobody to get in my boat. I'm not going fishing no more today. But it's something about that man. How many of y'all can say it? It's something about that man. How many of y'all remember the night you went to church and you didn't mean to get saved? You didn't mean to get the Holy Ghost. You didn't mean to roll all over the floor. You didn't mean to start running. But something got a hold of you, and it was just like fire shut up in your bone. I need somebody to give God 30 seconds of what you gave him when he first laid his hands on you. I didn't even, you like, I didn't mean for this to happen. But he got a hold of me. And he put, Yeah. Hallelujah. You know what? When I'm starting to feel this thing. When I first got saved, people used to run to the altar to get saved. I'm talking about, they were like, if something don't happen tonight, I'm not going to make it till the morning. And they went to the meeting, and their heart wasn't right. And the love of God. Not, You need to take off them pants. You need to take off that jewelry. You need to do this. You need to do that. You can't wear this in church. Listen, I'm so sick of tradition and religion, and I'm so sick of all this junk we call holiness. Holiness is an inside job. If the Holy Ghost get a hold of folks, he'll teach them how to dress. He'll teach them how to walk. He'll teach them how to talk. Look down your row and say, Jesus just came in this row. You're not going home the way you came here tonight. You're not going home depressed. You're not going home suicidal. You're not going home a drug addict. You're not going home an alcoholic. You're not going home with that same mentality. The power of the Holy Ghost is present to do miracles in this house. Somebody grab your miracle. Go to verse 2. Go to verse 2. Go to verse 2. St. Luke chapter 5. Somebody lift your hands. First point I want to make. It's going to be so simple that it's going to make you think, I don't know what I'm talking about. But when I look at this verse, the best part of this verse is the first 7 words. And he saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were out of them. You're in the marriage, but you're not really in the marriage. You're out of it. You're in the church, but you're not really in the church. You're out of it. You work your job, but you're not really in the job. Really, you're out of it. There's so many people in this room. You're out of it. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. There's some people in this room. You're really out of it. You've been hurt so bad. You've been wounded so bad that you really don't want to try no more. But look at verse 3. Verse 3. Then he got into one of them. Lift your hands and say, he's coming in. Scoot over, Gladys. Jesus is coming in. Grab somebody's hand and shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake them and say, the Holy Ghost, call out your address. 3719 Orchard Street is where I live. The Holy Ghost is getting ready to come in that house, come in that family, come in that situation. God's getting ready to come in an impossible situation. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Nothing shall be impossible. Watch this. Let me put this together. Go to verse 2. Go to verse 2. Verse 2. He saw them. Now go to verse 3. I got to work. And he got in. Go to verse 2. Go to verse 2. He saw them. Verse 3. Then he got in. He got to see you. And God sent me from Atlanta to tell you, I see you. Lift your hands if you're thankful that he sees you. I don't care who don't see me. If God sees me, I don't care what nobody says. If God sees me, I'm going to be all right. Sherry, come here, babe. Come here, babe. There she is. Everybody's silent. This woman right here. You need to know that God sees you in all this hurt and all this pain. I want you to point your hand towards her and begin to prophesy. Begin to pull on God. The best is yet to come. He's going to give you beauty for ashes. He's going to take the pain and the hurt and the sorrow and the darkness. The Holy Ghost is here tonight to bring comfort and edification. He sees you. He sees you. He sees you. He sees you. Lay hands on yourself and say, he sees me. When my sister died and I didn't know what to do, he saw me. My mama went through a depression and her hair started falling out when my sister died. But God saw my mama. God sees you when you think you are invisible. And how many of you ever felt like you are invisible? Nobody cares about you. Nobody sees you. But God sees you. Let it go, baby. Let it go. He sees you. This girl can't sleep at night. Many nights, up all night. And while you up all night, struggling, and Satan saying, you're going to die like this, God sent me to tell you, he's a liar, 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 liar. Lay hands on somebody's shoulder right now and say, God's going to turn this thing around. He saw him, and he got him. And then, verse number four, and he started talking. And he stopped talking. And he said, what you got to lose? My mom had an alcoholic for a husband. I had an alcoholic for a father. We didn't have nothing to lose. Our odds were high. We had extremely high odds. So we poured that oil in that Jack Daniels. We had nothing to lose. So you know what we did? We threw it out. Sometimes you just need to say, I really don't have nothing to lose. And they threw it out there. Launch out into the deep and let down the net. Look at verse number 5. But Simon said, this is you, Brother Ziegler. You know how long I've been in this mess? Zig, really? You think I can change? I've been like this all my life. Zig, listen to me. I am a perpetual screw up, a failure. I'm like Charlie Brown and Lucy. Every time I go to kick the ball, life moves it. And you feel like, what's the use? But when God tells you to try it again, when God tells you it ain't over till I say it's over, when God tells you I will do a new thing, I don't care about the old thing, I'm going to do a new thing in your life, you don't have to blow your brains out, you don't have to kill yourself, don't give up on the ministry, don't give up on God, don't give up on your future, God's got something for you that the devil's been trying to hold from you for years and years and years. And this is the word, nevertheless. I want somebody that this is your word, lift your hands, nevertheless. What you got to lose? Nevertheless. 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 And guess what? Peter said, I'm going to do something right now, and it's going to change my life. Lean forward. There's something that's going to happen in this revival that's going to change everybody in your house, everybody in your family. This is, Brother Ronnie, the Holy Ghost is speaking this word to me. You've lost your focus. That many of you have lost your focus on what God can do. But they shouldn't have sat by you. Give somebody an elbow and say, you shouldn't have sat by me tonight. Because we finna put this net in the water. We're not going to have dry net syndrome. We're not going to have frustrated all the time syndrome. We're going to drop it like it's hot. We're going to put this net in the water. And when we get through pulling, my God, there is a miracle in the house for somebody in this room. Son, when you started singing about miracles, I got so happy I didn't know what I was going to do. But this is the theme of tonight. God's going to give you an undisputed miracle in your life, in your family, in this church. Somebody give God the glory. Hit that cymbal. Hit that keyboard. Open your mouth and give God the praise in him. Wait a minute. Let's do this right. Grab your neighbor's hand and do it like this. Do it like this. Say, neighbor, what we got to lose? 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 We getting ready to do something tonight that we haven't done in years. I want you to throw your net in the water. When I count to three, throw your net in the water. One, two, three, throw your net in the water. Well, that's one aspect. Throw it in. But I want you to get ready to pull. Get ready. Come on, get ready to pull. I'm telling you, you pulling in your blessing. You pulling in your miracle. You pulling in your breakthrough. Look at Brother Johnson getting healed right now. I'm telling you, you're not going to die. Brother Johnson, God got something great for you. I feel like shouting in this house. Give me all you got. Pull. 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 Somebody just pulled in a healing. Somebody just pulled in a blessing. Somebody just pulled in a miracle. I don't know who I'm talking to. Call out your children's names. Call out your grandchildren and go to shouting right now. One, two, three, go. Shout. Go ahead. Enjoy yourself. Verse number six. Keep clapping. Verse number six. When they did something, point at three people and say, you got to do something tonight. Tell them you got to do something. You got to bust a move. You got to get out of your chair. You got to get out of your space. They caught a great multitude of fish, and the net started breaking. And look at verse number seven. This is your verse. And they had to say, look, I need you to help me shout this blessing in. I want you to do me a favor. Get out of your seat and go grab somebody that'll shout your blessing in. And when you get through shouting, give God the greatest shout of hallelujah. Get out of your seat. Get out of your seat. Go ahead. Look at that man shouting over there. Somebody like this. Pull them like this. Shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake them. Come on, y'all ain't shaking them. Say, neighbor, call out your address. Wherever you live, call out your address. And now start shouting about the blessing. Yes! There's a look at a come on, help me run. Help me run. Help me run. Hey, get your blood. Look at that pop. Yeah. Hey, go ahead. your blessing. Come get your blessing. Ilabosha. Ah, Ilabosha. Hey, hey, hey. Brother Ronnie, when I got the Holy Ghost, I got the Holy Ghost, Sister Jan, they took me home and put me in the bed. And I was speaking in tongues. My mama said, John John, that's what they used to call me. She said, John John is still speaking in tongues. You need to come down here and calm him down. He got to go to school in the morning. And Big Mama said, I'm on the way. My grandma came to my house. It was about 11 o'clock. And Big Mama walked in. And when I saw Big Mama and my grandma, when she saw me, and the night before, she was praying for me. And I had stammering lips. But the next night, when she came to my house, I was speaking in other tongues. I had got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Big Mama, when I saw her, all I could say is, Nana, I got the Holy Ghost. And my grandma started shouting. And then my grandma said, where the phone? And my grandma got on the phone and called my uncle in New Jersey. He picked up the phone, and all I could hear my grandma say, John John just got the Holy Ghost. And I don't know what happened, but my uncle, my grandma dropped the phone. Apparently, when she told my uncle Edmund that I got the Holy Ghost, he started shouting. Grab somebody's hand and say, neighbor, when your family get the good news that God turned it around, they gonna be shouting. They gonna be shouting. They gonna be shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. Come on, Brother Ronnie. Come on, Brother Ronnie. Let them people shout. 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 Shout it out. There's a victory shout. There's a victory shout. There's a victory shout in here. Look at that woman shouting back there. Shout it out. Shout it out. I said shout it out. Dance it out. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Ah! Go ahead. Hold a minute. Hold a minute. Get somebody's hand and just start jumping. Just start jump for joy. Jump for Jesus. 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 Go ahead. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ah, yeah. look at that. Praise him, honey. Praise God. Sing it again. Listen. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. A bad night don't mean a bad life. Well, I had a baby out of wedlock. It's over. It ain't over till God says it's over. And let me tell you something. God specializes in junk. Fixing junk. Solving junk. Getting junk together and making something valuable out of what people would call junk. Lift your hands softly. Bring me home. Land me easy. Land me easy. Lift those hands. I want to call people tonight that would say, just like you, Zig, I have failed and I've made, as Donald Trump would say, huge mistakes. Huge. Huge mistakes. And God should have threw me away. But he didn't. And I want to hear that song. You thought I was worth saving. And everybody in this room, that heart is grateful and full. And you want to renew your relationship with God. Well, come on, there you go, baby. Clap your hands, church. Clap your hands. Stand right there. Here we go. Listen. As they sing this song, start walking to this altar.
You thought I was worth saving.
Come on. He'll give you another chance. He'll give you a fresh start. Come on. Inside, you thought I was the guy for. You sacrificed your life so I could be free and I can be whole and I can tell everyone I know. Listen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.